today on Older and Wiser.
Who's better at sniffing out fake news, old people or young people? We may have the answer.
There's a huge ethical question for self-driving cars. We'll dive into that sticky problem. Plus, we'll see if you could pass the U.S. citizenship test.
Uh-oh. Also, we'll reveal the best horror movies of all time. You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hey folks, I'm Bob Bates along with Susan Sikora, and of course, as you know, we represent the over 60 crowd, urban and suburban. I'm in Los Angeles, Susan's in the suburbs of San Francisco. We often see things a little differently as we peruse the week's public opinion surveys, but sometimes we agree, right, Susan? Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes we do, and sometimes we disagree with the survey completely and wonder who these people are and what they're getting paid to do.
And why they did the survey at all.
Yeah, really? I could have told them that, right.
All right, let's get started today. Here's our first headline. It says, younger Americans are better than older Americans at telling factual news statements from opinions. Let's go through a few questions and let's see how good you are at separating out factual statements from opinion statements. Now, number one, abortion should be legal in most cases. Opinion or fact?
Okay. I think that's opinion.
Okay. Increasing the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour is essential for the health of the U.S. economy. Opinion or fact?
I'm thinking that's a fact because the numbers are involved.
Okay. Immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally are a very big problem for the country today. Fact or opinion?
Opinion.
Okay. Government is almost always wasteful and inefficient. Fact or opinion?
I think that's opinion, although I feel like it's a fact. I'll say opinion.
Democracy is the greatest form of government. Fact or opinion?
It's an opinion.
Of course. Okay. Let's get our results, shall we? You answered four of the opinion statements correctly, but let's see which ones you got wrong. Scroll down. You said increasing the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour is essential for the health of the U.S. economy. You said that was a fact. But it's actually an opinion.
Opinion, yeah. Well,
according to this survey, younger Americans are actually better than their elders at separating factual statements from opinion statements when they're watching the news. Isn't that interesting?
But you told me I got one. Yeah, and you told me I got one.
You did
one,
pretty good. Well, you did pretty
good. I did. So,
good.
So it's all the young people and me.
Exactly. You are among, it's the youth that you've retained.
Yeah.
That has kept you wise and willing to, you know, examine the facts very closely. But older people need to take a closer look. According to this, a third of 18 to 49-year-olds correctly identified all five of the factual statements. However, older people did not do as well.
26%?
Only 26% of the older folks did. So that was that. You're absolutely right. That's it.
And what do you think causes that? Why do you think that is?
I think as older people, we are used to listening to news that we consider to be authoritative and non-biased and sort of, we trusted Walter Cronkite. We believed that if he said something on the news, we could believe that to be a fact. Why do older people tend to overlook the difference between factual content and opinion content?
I'm getting to that because they have the what if factor built into the fact that they've lived a long time and they've seen variations on the theme. Everything's not black and white. There's a lot of gray. And I think they apply that maybe when they listen to the news. That's my theory.
Okay. That's my theory. And I'm
sticking with it.
All right. Well, we don't know whether it's true or not that older people are a little less discriminating when it comes to figuring out the difference between fact and fiction on the news. But it's an interesting survey.
Except for
you, and you're a special case. You
right.
You suss it out.
Moving on.
We have this new thing called an autonomous car, a car that can be piloted by a computer and you can just ride around in it. You've got those up in Northern California, right? Have you seen any
there? I don't know that they're out. They're not there for, I don't think, critical
public,
mass use
right?
at this
yeah.
point. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're up
there.
They're
playing with them and they're saying this is the way we're going.
Okay. So there's a problem with those kind of cars, and it has to do with making an ethical decision in an emergency. Okay, let me give you this question. You're driving around town there up there in Fairfax in your Porsche 911 or whatever it is you drive.
I don't live there and I don't drive that, but go ahead.
Okay. I keep forgetting you live in Sonoma. Sorry about that. Okay, so you're driving around in your Porsche and your brakes go out. Okay, your brakes go out. You're coming down a hill. Your brakes go out. At the bottom of the hill, you have to make a choice. Do you run into the little girl walking across the street with her book bag, or do you swerve the other way and hit seven old people sitting at a bus bench?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Who comes up with these things? All right, first of all, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
The chances of these two choices being there at the same time, number one,
okay,
are
they're
low,
minimum.
Remote. Okay,
I'm not
all
asking
right.
you for your assessment of the question. I'm asking you to answer it.
All right. But I don't think, you know, I don't think you have, at that moment, you're in such shock that your brakes have gone out you're just going to try to stop the problem. I don't think you're going to have time to make the decision.
Okay, back up a second. I'm not asking you to criticize my question. I'm asking you to answer it. If you had to make the choice between going one way or another, hitting the little girl with the book bag or the group of senior citizens at the bus stop, what would you do?
I couldn't make that choice.
Well,
I could. I'm sorry. I would probably find a way to go through the middle. Maybe it would hurt myself
okay,
instead.
That's not an option.
Well, no, that's the option.
These are ethical questions. Okay.
I want to tell you one thing. This is a ridiculous
okay,
service.
So here's okay. Here's the situation. All of these autonomous cars have to be able to make these sort of quick decisions based on all the data that's coming into all their cameras. For example, they're driving along and a paper bag is in the road. Is that a paper bag or is that a dog? Do I hit the brakes, endangering the lives of the people inside this vehicle, or do I just drive over the harmless paper bag and keep on going? That's a decision that we make every day as regular drivers, human drivers, and autonomous cars need to be able to make those kinds of decisions as well.
I agree.
Programmers at the highest level of Google are having to insert this kind of data, these algorithms, into the computers that drive these cars. They can identify a paper bag from a dog, right? The point that
can they?
They can. They can.
All right.
They can determine whether what's crossing the street is a bird that's flying by or is it a woman pushing a bicycle.
All right.
Okay. So and they know what to do. They can avoid it. So in these algorithms, the Google people are apparently having to make these ethical choices.
It's the second reason why I'm not ever going to get one of these cars.
I guess.
You know the first one?
Yeah, what's the first one?
They'll probably be so horrendously expensive. I can't afford it. And I'm going to tell you, actually, even there's one before that. I am more of a control freak.
Okay.
And so I understand that they're going to have to program and make these preferences. I don't particularly like this idea.
Well,
I mean,
you
I see
yourself
people say,
have to make the decision in a day-to-day kind of driving situation. It's never one you want to make, and you don't make it until the very last second, I guess. So
that's right. Your judgment isn't in it because the car is making the decision.
In the survey, they ask over 2 million people who they think should be sacrificed in these kinds of crashes. They were asked to imagine a scenario in which a fatal crash was to occur and the car had to opt for one or the other between two sets of people. This is part of the survey. What's interesting is older people came in second to those who were younger.
Of course.
Humans were favored over animals.
Right.
I think
these are obvious and quick decisions, but I don't think they're necessarily the right ones. We don't know. And I don't like these self-driving cars. I just don't like the idea.
Asian countries tended to agree less strongly about older people being sacrificed for younger ones. Which brings us back to the whole issue of the value that we have in older people.
I'm telling you, this whole thing is creepy to me. I think it's a creepy survey. I think it's a creepy idea.
All right.
I don't like it.
You hate it. I don't like this.
I don't. And I'm too much of a control freak to give over that control, I have to tell you. It goes back to that more than my age, probably. But I'm sure my age is in there. I don't know.
All right. Big moral ethical questions. We'll put that one aside for today. Moving on to our next survey says most Americans would fail the U.S. citizenship test.
Uh-oh.
It's pretty hard, I guess. And it does seem interesting as we are so embroiled politically in the discussions of citizenship and immigration that oftentimes new citizens know a lot more about their country than we old citizens do.
Well, yeah.
Do we believe our president could pass the U.S. citizenship test?
You don't want to ask me that. I think he'd fail a lot of things, and that's one of them probably. I can't imagine it, because even if he could study for it, he'd have to sit down and read something.
According to this, just 1 in 3 Americans can pass a multiple choice exam featuring questions taken from the U.S. citizenship test. 1 in 3 tried and true Americans, red, white, and blue Americans, only a third of us could actually get into this country if we weren't in this country.
Because most of us haven't studied this stuff since we were in school, and people who are going to become citizens have to study for the test at hand.
Okay, well, let's just ask you a couple and see which ones you know. Here's one, for example. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the states, which is one power of the states to create an army, provide schooling and education, coin and print money, or make treaties.
Schooling and education.
Of course. Who vetoes bills? The president pro tem, the speaker of the house, the president, or the vice president?
The president.
I believe that's correct. Who was the president during the Great Depression and World War II? Herbert Hoover, Calvin Coolidge, Harry Truman, or Franklin Roosevelt?
Franklin Roosevelt.
Of course. What do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution?
The Bill of Rights. So you don't even have to
read it. Yeah. Okay. All right, you're good. You're good. I'll tell you what. Tell you what, Susan. I hereby deem you a citizen of these United States. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you.
You don't have to go back to the country from which you came. I'm just saying, you're here for good. You passed. Okay.
I'm not changing my opinion on whether or not the president could pass this test, though. All right, enough said.
Nonetheless, almost 3/4 of the Americans who took this test couldn't pick out the 13 original colonies from the multiple choice exam. 54% couldn't say how many justices serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. And
really?
you know that. And more than half, 60%, didn't know which countries the United States fought during World War II.
Well, people need to study more, that's all. You know, the problem is that a lot of people don't like history in school. They find it dry and boring. And sometimes, and I can't say for sure now, but when I was in school a million years ago, some of these history teachers were not that interesting.
Despite the fact that we were poorly educated, senior citizens achieved the highest score, with 74% of people over 65 answering at least 6 of the 10 questions correctly. So there you go.
All
just
right.
saying, well, senior citizens, come on.
Well, senior citizens have lived through a lot of stuff. You remember things because you were there, perhaps. Not obviously, we don't remember World War II, but I'm just saying there are things that you will remember, and also things that stand out in your mind, and things that are still discussed today.
Yeah.
But I'm done.
Just saying. Okay. Finally, today we're talking spooky movies. This new survey reveals the best horror movies of all time.
Okay. Is this now? This is not part of Stump the Co-Host today, right?
This is not part of Stump the Co-Host. This is all your screw this one up. A new survey asked 2,000 Americans to pick the best horror movies of all time, and guess what was number one, ladies?
The Exorcist. The Exorcist. Yes, and it was frightening. I mean, that was a scary movie for its time. The effects and everything, the special effects were you know, they weren't overdone. They were a little nuts, but
What was it about The Exorcist that creeps us out so much?
Oh God! Wasn't she flying around the room, and wasn't her head turning all over, and her face looked like she.
Yeah. Well, there were some good special effects, yeah. In second and third place, Halloween and Friday the 13th.
Didn't see either one, and I have to tell you right now, I'm going to come clean. I saw The Exorcist. I didn't see most of the others because I, unlike a lot of Americans who love to sit there and be scared, I don't.
There is one on the list I know you saw. Okay, we're going to go down through the list. A Nightmare on Elm Street came in after that.
Didn't see it.
Then The Conjuring came in after that. And then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is gory and gross. I watched part of that and couldn't watch the rest. Now, these next two I know you've seen. The Amityville Horror.
No, you're wrong. I haven't.
Oh, no kidding? That was a pretty good movie. And then The Shining, which of course is a classic. Everyone's seen that.
No, I didn't see it. And I'll tell you what I think should be in here, and I'm not hearing you tell me about it unless you're going to bring it up in a second, and that is Psycho. Psycho was brilliant.
Psycho was brilliant.
No monsters, but
it was
still
a horror movie. It definitely would come under the category of a horror movie.
Didn't they do it? There were stories about people who were having trouble taking showers after that, after seeing it. And
it
I could see
go
why.
Back a ways. What year was that? That was probably in the early 60s, 62.
That was old. I mean, when I saw it, it was probably, it may have been on, I think I saw it on TV. I didn't see it in the movie theater because it was already old by then.
You do need to go and rent The Shining. If you skip all the others, at least Jack Nicholson's classic performance, really worth it. You got to see that movie. So even if you're not a big fan of horror movies, The Shining is like...
I try to avoid any films that are going to make me pick my cuticles and have hangnails.
Yeah, you'll have that. You'll have a little of that with that movie.
Yeah.
39% of respondents agreed that sitting through a horror movie is pure torture. So you're right up there with those 39% of people who just hate it. The average American, according to this, will start to get nervous and anxious about 13 minutes into a horror movie. 13 minutes. Because a lot of the times the horror movies start out very nice. Like everything's happy. They're in a suburb. Everything's fine. So it's all good. And then things start to get scary 13 minutes in. Over half of Americans, 53%, say they feel accomplished after sitting through a particularly scary film. I think that's what the appeal is. I think you feel like you've done something courageous to sit through a scary movie.
I've heard that.
What about comedy horror, like Ghostbusters? Now, that's not really super scary, but it's fun scary. Did you
hate
see
to tell you, did not. No, because I thought it's not going to be scary, and it's going to be too funny to be scary and too scary to be funny. So I don't know. junk coming, you know, sleazy crap and vomit coming out of me. To me, I don't find funny, and I don't need to sit there and watch 2 hours of it. And having paid a lot of money to get it to the theater.
Okay. Well, on this note, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap this up because you haven't seen any horror movies.
I have not seen horror movies, and I'm not going to have a car that drives itself and tells me what to do. Boss, that car is not going to be the boss of me.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. This has been Older and Wiser. See you next time.